This one's a family affair. Casey, Dan, and Kelly Dalton co-founded socially conscious brands Evidence and Ocean Grown Extracts. They tell us how they partnered with Damian Marley to purchase an abandoned prison facility in Coalinga, California, how they figured out how to win the city over as well as the municipality to establish their brand, their commitment to social justice, and their deep involvement with the Last Prisoner Project. Now, let's step into the green room.
Changing the regulations in order to allow outdoor cultivation, there were a lot of questions, but we've been the first along the way. So we were the first in manufacturing in the county of Fresno. We're the first outdoor cultivation in the county of Fresno, and we have partnered with Cookies, and we'll be opening the first consumption lounge in the retail store and a consumption lounge in the city of Coalinga, but again, first in Fresno County. So being first is always going to have a little bit of a pushback, but yeah. Again, like the conversations and just being completely transparent and open has made the community trust us, has helped the community trust us. So even though there are questions that come up and there are concerns that come up, addressing them head on has been our best approach yet.
We've talked about that a lot with our guests, and transparency and education seem to be the things that are really pushing cannabis forward. So thank you for that.
Sure.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of new, like you were mentioning, and maybe people who are listening to this have thought, you know, this has been around for a while, but it is very still very, very new. And I think that's what people are maybe not so much realizing or not understanding what the big deal is that a lot of these regulations and all the things that you work so hard to kind of, you know, come across, it's all still kind of new and shifting and changing the way the whole industry is going to be operating in like 2 or 3, 4 or 5 years, you know?
Yeah. And there's a huge responsibility in that, yeah. That I didn't know existed when we were starting. It was just like, you were kind of begging and pleading. And, you know, I think the whole industry was right. Like you just say like, it's okay if landlords charge 3 times the amount, just allow us to operate. It's okay if you put us in the industrial area to have a retail store, even though these other businesses operate here. It's okay if we don't have banking. It's okay. We just I think the industry just continued to say, we want an opportunity. Yeah. To participate, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Where it really hurt us, and I'm well aware of it now, being as active as we are with Last Prisoner Project, $1 from every bag we sell goes to LPP, goes to Last Prisoner Project. Mm-hmm. And my brother Dan sits on the board, and we're very close and active and operating closely with the trying to get these prisoners out, and then those that are coming out, their reentry process. But where I think we need to be careful is because we continue to say, and not necessarily in Coalinga, we're also operating in a different city as well, but mm-hmm. continuing to say it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, gets you in major trouble when it comes to social justice. Mm-hmm. It gets you in major trouble when you have these others. You are the role model, right? You're the older sibling. You're the one that they're going to follow, whether it's another city, another state, another country. And the fact that we've taken social equity and social justice and made it an afterthought is a problem. So here we have New York, right? That's just getting ready to regulate. One of the things that they're speaking about putting into their regulation is right out of the gate, taking those tax dollars and reinvesting them into the communities that were damaged by the war on drugs, the Black and brown people, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that this is our chance as cannabis operators to get it right, because we're first and we have a responsibility. And I think that includes making sure that those that were trampled upon and those that were the victims have a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. And the money that's used from this industry goes back into those communities that were damaged.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think this is a great segue and into the Last Prisoner Project to hear a little bit more about that. And Dan, maybe you're on the board, so I feel like this is a question you can answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Well, we'll see. If not, Casey, you can, are you? Don't get off the line.
Don't hang up. You just quiet. Right
there. Don't move.
But yeah, tell us about how you got into that. We're actually going to be speaking with Steve D'Angelo next month, and so we're really excited to talk to him about that. So tell us how you guys got involved with it, what you're doing, how that all works.
Sure. I got introduced to Steve through a mutual friend. We have a project we can't talk about just yet, but a film project that we're working on, and got to know him and became friends with Steve. And so he asked me to come on the board early on. I mean, just as they were getting going, just as they were starting, really, I couldn't commit to too much. So I just took an advisory board position and told him I would be there when I could. And turns out that as we just got started from day one, it was more time than I thought I'd be putting in just because I want to. It's such a, it's one of the most rewarding movements that I've been around, and just being in Los Angeles, and whether it's supporting Mamiya or just different events and missions that my friends and I took up over the years. This is one of those movements that you can actually touch and feel and see right before you. This isn't one of those where you just kind of give money and you just, you hope and think that it's going to, you know, get to the right place. We're actually seeing prisoners come out of jail. And I
love that you guys have like showcased, you know, if people listening haven't seen, if you go to the Instagram page of Evidence Bag, you could see like some of the stuff that you guys have been doing with Last Prisoner Project and some of the prisoners that have been released. And I think it's great that you guys are able to also showcase that there.
Yeah, just we want to continue to point to LPP.
Yeah.
And that's been really my role with LPP, is just help them with introductions and the entertainment business and just any way for them to get exposure. Because, you know, Casey talks about this a lot, that it people want to help, you know, that's their natural instinct is to help. And when you hear about, everybody knows this one is wrong, right? Here we are operating, moving pounds of flour, oil, and we are setting up our company to be extremely successful for years to come. And it's cannabis, and it's the same thing. I mean, there are prisoners right now that LPP is fighting for that are in for life for an ounce or less, right? And the front door is still open. Right now, the front door is still open. So when Casey talks about those 40,000, it's not like, you know, as we get those 40,000, that number down and get people out, the front door is still open. People are still being arrested to this day. So the fight is going to, it's a real one. But yeah, I mean, watching Corvain Cooper come home was a big one for me. I when COVID broke out, I went to Corvain's home with Nabil Elderkin, who's a director photographer. And we were brought, the case of Corvain was brought to my attention by Mary Bailey from Last Prisoner Project. Mm-hmm. And I related because I spent a lot of time from the 80s on in South Central, and some of the guys from Jurassic 5 were from South Central, and sure, other friends. So I was very familiar with the community and the people and the fabric of South Central. And so his story, I related to, because I felt like that could have been me, right? You know, easily. Like I could have been caught up on some night with some friends doing, you know, I don't know. So it really hit home. And it also, the way they described him, he was somebody I could have been friends with. Sure. And so, so I said, oh, well, I want to help, Mario. What can I do? And so I said, well, here, I'll go shoot a video and make get some awareness going. So mm-hmm. Nabil Elderkin and I, went to South Central. It was just when COVID hit, and it was a rainy day, and we set up in his backyard and interviewed his family. And because the little tent that we had popped up was so small, they only one could be back there at a time. And the last person to be interviewed was his 15-year-old daughter, Clear.
Yeah,
and the family left.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I saw a picture. We saw a picture of her on your Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah. So Clear was with Nabil, two other guys, and myself underneath this tent with no family around. And sure. It just, as a father, I have a 17-year-old daughter. It just ripped my heart out. Like, she's back here being a brave little girl because, and speaking to these strange white guys, you know, that she's never met before in her backyard in the rain with the hopes, even if it's a 1% chance of seeing her dad again, who's right. serving life. Right. And that just was super heavy to me because I could see her. She's just such a humble, smart little girl. Uh-huh. And it just really like affected me. And so when we left there, and she was so strong, like when she, the way she carried herself, if you've seen any interviews with her.
Yeah.
So
yeah, she seems very confident and yeah. And the way she speaks and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's a really bright girl. She wants to go to an Ivy League school. I mean, Corvain from jail taught her the stock market.
Wow.
She's heavy, but, So when I left there, I called, well, first of all, I told the family, I said, look, I don't know what I can do. I mean, I have a certain role with LPP to just bring overall awareness, but I want to focus on Corvain and I want to just whatever we can do here. Like, this is killing me that this family is in so much pain. So we did this video and we put it out. Casey and I got on with Mary from LPP and they said, well, maybe we can do a pre-roll. You know, we got caught up on the case, like where he was at, and all of his appeals were exhausted. Really clemency, you know, from the president was the only hope he had. Otherwise he was going to continue to do life. So Casey had the idea of creating a brand, more of a sustainable brand rather. LPP had the idea of, oh, can you guys do a pre-roll in his name? And we were like, sure, we can do that. But Casey was like, it's not going to do anything. It might raise a little awareness. It's not going to make any money. Okay. Let's get a sustainable, real brand and teach them. So, you know, the expression, you know, feed a fish for a day, you know, it's kind of thing. So
yeah, teach them.
That's what we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Casey really, she educated, she would speak to Corvain from jail. And Anthony and L'Oreal, Anthony's Corvain's best friend for 25 years, who would speak to Corvain on a weekly basis when he wasn't on lockdown. So, you know, just to see him, I mean, I won't go deep in, you know, you guys probably all heard the story. So, you know, eventually he gets out.
Yeah.
And, you know, being at, he invited us to his, you know, welcome home party with his friends and his family, and sitting there at that party a couple hours in, I was looking over at Clear across the room, who's sitting on the couch, and she was grinning and at nothing, right? She was just literally just smiling and looking around the room, and her daddy was home, you know, and her friends are there and her uncles are there and everybody's partying and the music's going. And I was like, that's it, man. That's it right there. That's the work. So, and we're not, you know, I want to be very careful that we don't look like we're taking credit for that kind of thing, because Mary Bailey and Sarah, and the team at LPP, they wake up every day and they get after it.
Yeah.
And really get after it. All we do, and I think it's our responsibility, is to just continue to shine that light on them and support them in any way we can. So being a part of that team is the rewarding, you know, part. And I'm just very thankful, and we're just blessed that, you know, honored that we can be put in that position where they can go do the work. And when they need us, they call on us, and, you know, we're organizing an event. I'm helping them with a gala, and we have some plans for like our first kind of big black tie gala.
Fun.
Maybe I shouldn't be mentioning that. I don't know. If you say that to Steve, he's going to say, who told you that?
Yeah, no, we don't know about anything.
Okay. Yeah. Thank God
nobody knows anything.
Good. Good. Thank God I didn't say that on a podcast. It's going to be out there to the world.
Right. Right.
That's been our role. You know, like when we first showed the bag to Steve D'Angelo, Casey, we were at a fundraiser at this infused dinner at Jim Belushi's house. And this was really early on. This was like at the outset, right, Casey?
It was actually the launch. And at that time we were the only brand to have partnered with LPP. And we made the first like donation, just believing in it, believing everything about it and wanting to set the example for other brands to follow. And we were really excited about the bag. And so Dan, you can go on to Steve's reaction that hit me hard.
Yeah. So Casey showed up to Jim Belushi's house, to the function with the bag. And she had told me about it like the day before, I think. And she said, you know, what about that? I was like, oh, that is genius. That is so ill, because it's like, right on brand with our story. And I mean, you know,
And the whole theme of all of this pulling together, like the evidence bag, the prison, the brand, and then the Last Prisoner project. It's like, it's like perfect synchronicity.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And Kyle, our, you know, master grower, if you will. He said the other day, we're selling flour out of their bag, out of their house. And I was like, whoa, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
So Casey brought the bag to that dinner and, gave it to me. And I went up to Andrew D'Angelo and Steve D'Angelo. And I was like, here's the idea I was telling you about, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, like he was kind of throwing, I don't like that. I was like, no. And he's like, it just reminds me of cops, man. It reminds me of the police, reminds me of the court system. I said, yeah, but isn't that the point? Right. Like, I like that. And that's kind of where we're at right now. And, you know, cause this is an evolving journey with this brand right now. And I personally, speaking for myself, like that people are a little uncomfortable by it.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
Cause then it's like, oh, okay. So let's talk now. Right. If you just see go ahead.
No, you're not masking the history of what's been happening. And so I think I totally agree. It's like a conversation starter. It doesn't remove, it makes people think rather than just doing what you're going to do. You're thinking about the whole story.
Right. You can't forget it. It's right in front of your face now. Yeah. Now so let's talk about it. And really though, I don't meet people who, it's funny. It's somewhat the same reaction of like when people hear that we bought a prison, like when people say, what do you do? It's a loaded question. When people ask me what I do. So I do a lot. But I was like, oh, well, you know, we do. And I do this and we bought a prison and like any word that comes after we bought a prison, people look at me like, oh, he's one of these guys. And then I go to grow cannabis out of. And then they're like,
it's even weird.
They're like, wait a minute. And then they kind of laugh and then they go, wait a minute, what are you talking about? You know? And, but the same thing, even with the bag is the same way. Like I have a friend who works with juveniles in LA County and he had an evidence bag at his house. Casey, talk about Terry and the friends, he had a couple friends over and they saw that bag. They're like, do you get this from your work? Like, where did you get this? You know, what do you mean? Did I get it from where? I would have had to steal it from where? No, I didn't get that from where. But they give it on Fridays.
Like stealing out of the evidence room. You're stealing their.
Yeah, no, they take a box out on Friday on your way out the door. It's like happy hour. You just grab one on the way out the door. So with LPP, it's just been. And the journey is really just starting. This mission, like when you talk to Steve, you know, the slogan that Steve came up with is we won't stop until every cannabis prisoner is free. He's talking about worldwide.
Yeah.
So even when we get to this point in the US where we're satisfied, then the work continues, you know, and you know, as you know, so many countries are further behind than we are.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So this
I just Dan. I think it's amazing that we've been able to see, you know, they always say like in cannabis, everything is, you know, it's all sped up. Like we'll see some regulation change or some, you know, state that, you know, it's like one domino, right? Like we're watching all this happen and we get to see all of it happen in such a short amount of time. It's the same case. I think the part that Dan speaks about that's so almost addictive when it comes to LPP and it's so rewarding is we're seeing the results that, and it's not just LPP, like Dan said, clarifying, like we're not taking, you know, credit for what's happening. And it's, we're one drop in a huge bucket. There's so many people that are all making such a tremendous amount of effort, all moving in the same time, you know, marching at the same time towards the same goal. And it really has become a movement. But I did this case for the Evidence brand that had an orange jumpsuit and a pair of handcuffs. It's a glass case, a pair of handcuffs, an Evidence bag, and randomly picked three prisoners' pictures to put in there with their stories, so that someone who's reading about the brand, again, back to education, like they're understanding that there's a problem here. And that was Richard DeLisi, Corbin Cooper, and Michael Thompson. All three are out now.
That's crazy.
That was like 7 months ago that case was put together. So it's as much as like everyone's doing this to do the right thing and call awareness, the reward part and the excitement, it's invigorating to be able to watch other people, to watch all these people work together and knock this down. It feels like a movement. It feels like it's just one person after another is getting behind it, and we can make this change. We can do it. We can get them out. Mm-hmm. All of them.
Yeah. It just takes people, to just step forward and help in any little way that they can. Corvain recently came out for brunch. I live out in Agoura Hills, which is in the Santa Monica Mountains in LA, outside of LA. And so Corvain and his family and some friends came out for a brunch. We have a place called the Cornell Winery, an old place, and just tucked away in the Santa Monica Mountains. Very cool place. Little plug right there.
Yeah.
And we had just a killer day. But some of my friends from that area, because I'm a local there, they watched the Corvain story develop, and they watched it evolve from, you know, from the time that we just thought it was hopeless to here's the guy right in front of you right now. So a friend of mine, Mike Gallagher, is a lawyer and a partner at a firm here in Los Angeles. And after meeting Corvain and everything, he said, I have an idea. I want to talk to LPP. I want our firm to get behind LPP. And he said, if you can make the introduction, and we did. And he got a team of lawyers together, a civil rights attorney, a former DA of San Francisco, who used to put people away for cannabis, who flipped and when he realized how racist and how awful of a job he had. But he's a really good hearted person. And so they put a team together, got on the phone with Sarah Gersten from LPP, and they are now part of that team. And they had some ideas and really lent some incredible insight and resources to LPP. And so I think, you know, just my point with that is that it's contagious, you know. Yeah. And I think the dominoes have fallen with LPP in terms of just people being passionate, and when you get in front of other people that you can't help but say, well, how can I help? I mean, even if you're not a cannabis consumer, you know this is wrong. You know, this is a really shitty, horrible thing that's causing a lot of pain to people. And the destruction that has happened to date is unacceptable. And it just needs to, you know, we just need to right the wrongs now. And it's a very complex journey and answer to that question. But for us, it's just easy just to turn to LPP and follow that lead. It kind of centers the mission, you know?
Absolutely. So what is next for Evidence and for Ocean Grown Extracts? What's in the pipeline for you guys?
Really getting Evidence off the ground. And you know, it's been kind of a soft launch. We just, I've been putting together some of the materials. Casey has been on the business side as always and organizing that side. We did a photo shoot with Nabil. Nabil is a director photographer who works with Weeknd, Frank Ocean, Kanye, Kendrick, on and on.
So no one famous then.
Yeah. Some of these upcoming guys.
Yeah.
But he's just extremely talented, creative, that we are blessed to have in our corner. He's now part of the company as well. And so we just did a photo shoot with some young artists from Los Angeles and black and white and urban. And it really feels like it's almost like the bag. It's unapologetic. You know, it's like, yeah, that's what this is. You know, this is the brand. And we're excited to start getting all of that out there. I mean, we're really just getting started now, but Casey's done an incredible job at creating this vertically integrated company where, you know, we grow our own flower and we put it in our bags at our own facility. And that's right there on the spot. And you know, it's exciting what's to come for Evidence.
That kind of
leads the initial.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the initial launch of the brand. We were in a position. It was before we were able to get the regulations changed,
right,
in the city of Coalinga. So we were in a position where we had to source, and we had to source that flower initially. So the first year we were out, the demand is there, and we're in a really unique position where we have. There was more of a demand than there was flour for us to keep up with. So we're existing in 30 stores right now and keeping those stores happy, but being able to grow our own flour and put that in the bags. And now, as far as being able to scale, we can now completely scale. Like the cookies store has just taken us on in all their dispensaries and many of these other stores. And now we can actually properly call attention to it because before it was, the demand was higher than the supply, but our tagline is, you know, we grow weed in a prison to help get people out of prison for growing weed.
Yeah.
And we're super excited.
Yeah, no, I love that. It's really a full circle kind of story. I think it's so interesting. It's not a lot of people have all these different dimensions. One of the dimensions I wanted to just quickly touch on before we go and maybe lighten up the conversations, because we're talking pretty heavy stuff, is, you know, as siblings, you know, just going back to the family element of what you guys are doing as a brand and coming together as siblings, how is it working together? And you know, you guys do, it sounds like you guys each have your own lane, but you know, working with your family is always interesting. So have you guys had any interesting stories as a sibling rivalry comes to play?
No, we never argue. We never fight. Everything's great here. Never a problem, right, Casey? Go ahead, Casey.
Go ahead.
Here's the great thing. Here's the difference between working with a sibling and working with anyone else, any of our other colleagues, is you can say more than you should, but you can also call them the next morning to make a joke and pretend like it never happened.
That's right. Yeah.
So, we've had our eruptions, but we're all passionate about what we do. But the cool thing is we can also call each other the next morning, make a stupid joke, usually about one of the other siblings, and then move on, you know, and stay focused.
Yeah. And it is real. I mean, there are challenges, but it's just like Casey said, you know, the honesty is what gets you in trouble. Just the free, you know, like when we get on the phone, we're talking, the same conversation is about our families and business and personal. And then it goes into business and then back out. And so the line is pretty blurred. But the bottom line is that, you know, we care, we love each other. We're honest and we're rocking it. So like, but it's not easy at times, and it's not, and we can accept, that, we have challenges in front of us. You know, this is a pretty big undertaking.
Yeah. It's nice. It's so funny because, you know, Casey, it sounds like when you guys started out, she didn't seem like she thought she was going to be a part of it. And she sounds like she's just, you know, a very crucial part of your trio that has made a lot of these things come to light. And I think it gives you guys a little bit of more strength when you're doing these things together. And you guys can gel on those missions, right?
Absolutely. I mean, she's leading this company. She always has. She's the one, really driving everything, and we kind of play our roles and color that up and jump into position when she needs and wherever we think we can help. But she's the one that's leading, and having a woman lead and run a cannabis business is a cool story in itself. I think we're proud of that as well.
It's smarter that way. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Those guys could be so emotional and, I know.
I know there's a ton of things we could be talking about, but this conversation has been so lovely, and you guys have such a great way of bringing this brand, and making it really mission focused, but also growing the industry. So there's so many really cool dynamics in what you guys are doing. So I'd like to, you know, I appreciate, definitely appreciate what you guys are doing there.
Thank you. Well, thanks for having
us. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very, very welcome. We are going to have all this information. We have like all these links to the Last Prisoner Project, to Evidence Brand, you know, all these things in the show notes, so you guys can check it out and make sure you're following and subscribing and following and doing all those things. Anything you guys want to leave off on? Anything we didn't talk about that maybe I missed?
Not for me, Case.
I don't think so.
I would just say, you know, the same thing is, you know, go check out lastprisonerproject.com. Buyevidence.com is our website. Yeah. That's it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
The Green Room Podcast is brought to life by Green Seed PR, a cannabis green tech focused PR agency, and a dedicated production team of editors, mixers, and showbookers. A huge thank you to the Vessel team for providing their studio for our recordings. Don't forget to subscribe and share the Green Room Podcast with friends, colleagues, and family. That way you'll never miss an episode and we can keep the lights on. If you're feeling extra generous, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. You can also find us on Instagram at GreenSeedPR and see the live video versions of all of our podcasts on YouTube. Would you like to be on the guest on the show, or do you have a great guest referral? Awesome. Submit your guests at greenseedpr.com/the-green-room. Thanks for listening and be well.